Good morning. Thanks for being here so early and for being part of being interested in what's really a revolution in how we deliver care and information, and that is mobile, which is a pretty astonishing delivery system. I'm Yana Semyonov. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications for the State of California Poison Control System. My colleagues are here as well. And I'm also the innovation consultant for an mHealth, a mobile health group at UCSF, where I help researchers and clinicians understand and think about how to apply technology to a variety of interventions, whether they're in the clinic or out in the world. So this is kind of an astonishing statistic. More mobile phones than toothbrushes or roads worldwide. So especially over the last few years, the number of cell phone subscriptions globally has exploded. And we find that here in the U.S. as well, to a slightly lesser degree because we've had infrastructure, but in places where there was no infrastructure, this is an amazing development, and it's allowed people not only to be connected to each other, but to be connected to a variety of services. So we're interested in what's happening here in California and in the U.S. and how different groups of people are using mobile, or if they're using it. I mean, we sort of can't assume that everybody is part of this revolution, although we suspect that most people have gotten on board, particularly people at lower income levels. But when you start delving into the data, you do see that there is pretty high penetration of smartphone use in certain populations, particularly the Hispanic population. And we in California are very focused on that because California is a state with a very high proportion of Hispanics, 42% in LA, close to 42% in the Central Valley. And we also have one of the highest birth rates of California because of our Hispanic population. And as well that Spanish has been spoken in California way, way longer than English, so we always want to be cognizant of who's here. But when you look at the data that's available around cell phone use divided by ethnicity, what you see is that Hispanics over-index. So all of the data that's out there, and this is data collected by telecoms, by ComScore, by Nielsen, by large research firms, shows that Hispanics over-index in mobile, which means that they use it more to do everything. They text more, they talk more, they play more videos, they download more videos, they download more songs, everything more, 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 more. But when you drill down into this data, you see that this is a huge swath of the population, from people with low English proficiency to third and fourth and fifth generation Hispanics. And it's just a giant pot of people. And so we wanted to segment that to see whether this was accurate at even sort of lower income levels. And we wanted specifically to look at mobile phone use in low-income Hispanic populations. And did this over-indexing, and did all of this data that we found in larger pools or larger data sets actually mean anything or stand up with this other population, with part of this population? And we wanted to really take a look at their habits. Like, how do people use their cell phones? What kinds of cell phones do they have? What kind of plans do they have? What kind of handsets? How do they feel about their phones? What other technology are they using? And as well, are they using any of this technology to get information about health? And is that potentially a route for us to deliver information around health and healthcare, or as well even interventions, specific interventions? And what were people already doing that we could leverage and do more of? We really wanted to not just promote health, but change health behavior and ultimately maybe even reduce healthcare costs. So over the course of about 18 months, we did 17 focus groups across California. So these were initiatives funded by a variety of funders, but they were all focused on low-income Hispanics. So 116 respondents over 6 locations, and we chose our locations based on the density of low-income Hispanics. So we did a lot in Southern California, and we did a lot in sort of the Fresno area, which is the heart of California. The majority of the groups were conducted in Spanish. A few of them were conducted in English and Spanish. Those are the ones with community health workers. The community health workers tended to be bilingual and perfectly comfortable in both languages, and in fact, happy to sort of switch back and forth, which they did routinely in all of their work. So out of those 116 participants, the majority of them were consumers, low income, low English proficiency consumers, so people who would describe themselves as speaking English not very well or not at all. A pretty wide age range, but everyone was capped at 125% of poverty. What we found was that everybody came with a cell phone. I think out of everyone, there were 2 people in our farm worker group who did not. One person had just lost theirs, and there was one person who had never owned a cell phone. And the surprising thing was that most people had web-enabled phones. So people were using these phones to go online, to use the internet. Pretty powerful handsets and really robust plans. We asked very specifically, how do you pay for this and what are you paying? And lots of people had family plans, very extended family plans. So they would have 8, 10, 12 family members in different cities across California, all part of this family plan. Or they had pretty good pay-as-you-go plans for $50 a month. They had a smartphone and a data plan that they said was unlimited. So likely not very unlimited, because I think the telecoms really don't do that. They always kind of throttle your data, but sufficient enough to be online browsing the internet. We found most people headed towards Android because there are way many more possibilities when you're looking for a smartphone. And when you have Android, there are hundreds of handsets. And there are many Android handsets that come free with your plan. But we also found a surprising number of users that had iPhones. With community health workers, particularly in Los Angeles, there we were actually surprised at the number of iPhones that we saw. And new iPhones, 4s, not old 3 or 3GSs like I may have had in my pocket. So very state-of-the-art technology. In the Androids, lots of Samsung, lots of unlimited and family plans. People were big consumers of data. So having a plan that accommodated all of that was really important. And we found that farm workers are surprisingly and very, very robust and very sophisticated users of mobile devices. They are going online, they're searching for health information, not a lot, but they're certainly searching for it. But one of the most interesting findings was that some farm workers who were online regularly did not realize that they were accessing the internet. Through their mobile device, they were getting to the internet for the first time. It was their primary way to access the internet, and it was their only way. These were not people that had ever sat down at a computer and looked at online for anything. They went directly from handset to internet. So some of them weren't certain that that's where they were. They would describe it as their phone giving them information. The phone gave them information about the weather, about websites, about store hours, but clearly they were online. They just didn't think of it as the same experience as that you might have, that they imagined you could have if you were sitting in front of the computer. I'm not really sure what to do with that piece of information yet, but I still find it really fascinating. But clearly, this was the mobile phone is the computer for the population that we looked into. This was their main thing. These are some of the phones that we saw that were brought to focus groups, and farm workers described their mobile phones as among their most important possessions, something that they really didn't want to live without. They were also heavy users of text messaging. They texted often more than they talked, and they described why, because they said it was easier to sort of text down here while you were working, literally working in the field, than to put a phone up to your head, because putting a phone up to your head could get you in trouble. It was obvious that you might be making a phone call, but here if you were sort of texting, nobody would say anything. So you could check on your kids, you could check on your wife, you could tell people when you were getting home, you know, you could even have a short conversation. And then we looked at community health workers, where we really saw a sophisticated level of usage that was remarkable and very creative. So community health workers are using their phones in their work. They're not reimbursed for these phones. These are personal cell phones. I think we only ran into one or two health workers that were actually getting paid for their cell phone usage by their organization, but they were using it all the time in simple ways, like calling and making appointments, but they were also using it to text clients, to forward information via text messaging to their clients, to sit with their clients and show them websites about where to go and how to find things and how to search for information. So to them, it was the best tool in their very large arsenal of binders and papers and bags. These are all photos from our focus group. So these are real community health workers and their very real phones. So from community health workers, we heard something really interesting. We heard no more paper. Please stop giving us brochures, flyers, binders with information. They want the information, but they don't want it in the ways that we've been providing it for them. It's literally heavy, right? They've got to cart around tons of stuff. It gets lost, it gets damaged, it's way too dense. What they described was wanting a suite of mobile optimized tools, things that they could share with people easily using their mobile device, whether that was an image or a video that they could spend time showing someone or forwarding to someone, whether it was a text messaging service that they might be able to sign someone up for. They were all for it. They loved the idea of helping support their clients through regular text messages that were personalized and about some sort of specific disease or health issue. They loved the idea of encouraging people around sort of health and wellness, so obesity and chronic disease, by regular text messages about things to do, you know, especially if they were well-timed. You get a text message in the evening saying, you know, have you taken a walk today? Maybe walk around the block with your kids. Particularly, they like the idea if that was paired with something that was actually happening in their neighborhood. So you might be able to say, you know, there's a farmer's market 10 blocks away, or there's a community event over here, or there's a playground right here, and you can all go as a family. We asked farm workers about the same thing, and they thought such a service would be absolutely fantastic, and they were willing to pay for it. They volunteered what they would be willing to pay for it, up to $5 a month. So up to $5 a month from somebody who's living at or hovering at the poverty line, if not well below it, to get personalized, real-time health information delivered to their mobile device. So it's an extraordinary opportunity for those of us who are looking to do creative interventions in public health. So getting this information this way, very, very highly desirable. Even if people had to pay for it, they wanted it. They were happy to pay for it. They weren't really expecting, nobody was expecting to get anything for free. This population is used to working for everything they have, and this seemed perfectly reasonable. And nutrition advice, health and wellness advice, being able to talk to a doctor, being able to ask simple questions of a healthcare professional over text messaging during off hours, you know, in the evening when they weren't working, on the weekend when they weren't working, that would have been fantastic. And I think people would have signed up immediately if they could be able to do that. Health workers wanted better tools to maybe even triage or help diagnose people in the field so that they can then be better kind of sent through to real health services. So as we can see with many speakers here, as this sort of mobile and mHealth group is growing, that this is an amazing way to deliver information and care. It's happening all over the world. I mean, the developing world has much more sophisticated programs using cell phones than we do. We have a lot more regulation here, which makes it a little bit harder. And then we also have one of the worst systems for paying for mobile phones. We're the only country that pays for incoming text messages. Nobody else does. So it creates a burden on the people that we want to send this information to. And it's so varied. Some people don't pay for text messages or data, and other people do, and they are always paying something different. And I'm not certain why utilities or telecoms in the U.S. aren't required to carry the occasional public health message, like television and broadcast media is. When you look at how text messaging or how mobile communications for health are used outside of the U.S., in Hong Kong, when the big SARS scare happened, the public health authorities were able to send a text message to every single person who had a cell phone. Everyone got a message. It's only, I think, in the last year, year and a half, that we now have that capacity in the U.S. for major disasters where the White House can do that. But it shouldn't be that difficult. So mobile and social are kind of go hand in hand sometimes, and we do both. We try to weave these two interventions in together. We do that at UCSF. I'm also at the Public Health Institute. My colleague Christina Hamm is back there as well. I'd be happy to take any questions, I think, at the end, and I will just move on.